Welcome to Conversations with Doc Martin. This video series focuses on extraordinary people doing extraordinary things. Please do not forget to hit subscribe and click notifications so you don't miss out on our next guest. Today, once again, we're joined by my friend Sean Swarner. He's a philanthropist, author, and keynote speaker. He's a two-time terminal cancer survivor who's dedicated his life to helping others reach their full potential. Sean created Cancer Climber with his brother in 2001, a nonprofit organization that pays for and travels with cancer survivors to climb Kilimanjaro. Sean's passion for climbing and adventure blossomed after becoming the first cancer survivor to summit Mount Everest. And since then, he's climbed all seven summits and skied to both the North and South Poles, making him the first cancer survivor to complete the Explorer's Grand Slam. His final trip to complete the Grand Slam was to the North Pole, in which a team followed him and chronicled the experience in a documentary called True North. If that's not enough, he also completed the World Championship Hawaii Ironman. And last but not least, in 2018, Sean was voted as one of the top eight most inspirational people in history and was the recipient of the Don't Ever Give Up Award presented by the Jimmy V Foundation and ESPN. So Sean, once again, welcome to you. Thank you so much.
I appreciate it. One of the funny things you mentioned about the North Pole that most people don't know. I'm in Puerto Rico now with my wife. Mm-hmm. She's born and raised Puerto Rican. Mm-hmm. And I could actually say yo soy boricua, meaning I'm Puerto Rican as well. Uh-huh. Because I married one of the people from here. Uh-huh. But I was at the North Pole when I called her on my satellite phone. She was hanging out down here. I think there was 100 to 200 degree temperature difference. Oof. And that's where I actually asked her to marry me, at the North Pole.
That's amazing. You know, having watched True North again before we kind of jumped on this interview, you know, I was really watching you when you hit that North Pole and you were pushing the sled with the flag of hope, with all the names on it that Vern Yip designed for you. I was watching your face and the emotion that just kind of washed over you, particularly from my perspective, as you were laying out the flag. And then as you started pushing it toward the pole, and, you know, we met each other, what, 5-6 years ago, whatever it was, in our coaching training. And, you know, I had given you a couple names of my family, and my mother and my brother are both survivors. And then I gave you the name of my aunt, and, you know, we'll text here and there. It's not like it's all the time. And I know you're a busy guy, and like me too, you know, you text and like a couple days later, you get a response. And, you know, I texted you one day and I said, hey, listen, I said, my aunt, whose name is on your flag, just got re-diagnosed again. And within 2 minutes, like no joke, you text me back a picture of the name of my aunt on the flag. And I can't even tell you how much that meant to me because, I mean, I knew her name was on the flag, but the level of care that you exhibited just to be like Johnny on the spot when you had all this other stuff going on, because this was before you left. This was like right before you left, was just absolutely amazing. And to see your face as you pushed the sled and as you reached the pole was just extraordinary. And, you know, what was going through your mind when you kind of hit that point or pole, as you will?
The pole, yeah. I think a couple things were going through my mind. One, obviously, you know, I was super happy I was getting out of the 80 degree temperatures. Mm-hmm. Two, the day before, I had a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue that they actually engraved. It said, Sean Swarner, True North, best served on ice.
Nice.
So I had it in my sled and I was pulling it up there. I checked it the night before. And it was so cold, the whiskey was frozen.
Oof.
So I took a hand warmers and I stuck them on there and stuck the bottle in a sock. Mm-hmm. So another thought through my mind was, I hope it melted. Like, I hope my alcohol thawed out.
That's hysterical.
The other questions, and these are in completely random order.
Of course.
Another one was, you know, what am I going to do next? Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest one was I didn't want to disappoint anyone who was on that flag. So yeah. Kind of going back to your aunt, you know, having values and knowing what your personal core values are, mm-hmm. really, really keeps you in tune with who you want to become.
Absolutely.
And I think I was thinking about all my values of why I was up there, why I was battling 80 below temperatures.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It wasn't for me to prove to myself I can walk away with all my 10 fingers and toes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Maybe in a selfish way, I do all this stuff because I still want to prove to myself I'm still alive,
mm-hmm.
because of what I've been handed in the past. But the number one reason is seriously to inspire other people and encourage them to go after their own limiting beliefs that they think are holding them back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we talked a little bit about that in our last segment. So if the viewers haven't seen it, I recommend going back and looking at it. And, you know, one of the things you said at the end of last segment had to do with the idea of like taking little steps every day. And so, you know, if we use, you know, the analogy of like training for the North Pole, it's not like you just like decided I'm going to go to the North Pole and booked your ticket and left a week later.
Right.
You know, you were training and you were dragging tires around the neighborhood and up hills and all that kind of stuff. And I love that you said that, because all the time, I talk about this paper from physics of all things that talks about dominoes. It's from 1983 from Dr. Whitehead. And it says a domino knocks down a subsequent domino 50% larger in succession. So you literally could start with a domino and knock down the Empire State Building. And so, you know, as coaches, you know, you get this window into people. And so often, I believe that's what people miss. They miss the fact that, you know, they have these limiting beliefs about things and all you got to do is start. Mm-hmm. And if you start, it kind of leads on. And so talk to us a little bit about not only just that concept, but even your journey, you know, related to the North Pole and how you started and how that can lead to bigger things just by putting your thoughts aside and just doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so many people get overwhelmed by, you know, waking up in the morning and thinking,
yep.
Oh, I need to do this. I need to do this. You have a thousand things on your to-do list.
Yep.
But you just start with one.
Yep.
That's all it takes. If I went to go climb Everest and I looked at the entire mountain, I would have been overwhelmed.
Yep.
But I knew we were going to break it down from this camp to this camp, this camp to this camp, going to the North Pole. You know, we had 100 miles in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Where the ice is cracking open and we had to go around these open leads. And if you didn't, and if you weren't careful, you'd fall in and you'd die. You know, there's no way you would survive by falling in the Arctic Ocean and being pulled out 80 below sure. temperatures. The ice would instantly freeze, or the water would instantly freeze on your clothes.
Yeah.
So it's not, hey, I need to go 100 miles. Hey, it's, I have to go 10 miles today.
Yep. Yep.
Or I have to go 5 miles today.
Yep.
And you know, I'm a big believer in challenges. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm doing one for this week or this month, and it's 100 push-ups and 100 sit-ups or crunches every day, mm-hmm. right? If I do that every day, by the end of the month, there's 3,000 push-ups.
Yep, exactly.
You know, you could even do 50. You know, mm-hmm. let's say you do 50 push-ups a day. Do 25 yeah. in the morning, 25 yeah. before you go to bed. It literally takes 2 minutes.
Yeah.
By the Absolutely. End of the month, you've done 1,500 push-ups.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's called the compound effect, something little over and over and over. Another perfect example that a lot of people probably have heard is, would you like to have $1 million now all at once or a penny that doubles every day?
Yes. That's one of my favorites because people don't understand the compounding effect at all.
Yeah. And it's in like you said, with the analogy of the 50% more mm-hmm. Dominoes, you know, the day before you get that $1 million, mm-hmm. it's 500,000, then it doubles, yep. then it's 1 million, and then it's 2 million, 4 Absolutely. Million, 8 million, 16 Absolutely. Million.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. I just kind of thought of, I'm a big fan of The Miracle Morning, the book, and I have my morning routine, and I'm kind of known, well, my friends know me as like this like avid book reader, and you know how many times people ask me, how do you find time to read all these books? And I look at him and I go, I read 10 minutes a day.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally, no joke. Now, granted, on the weekends, half the time I'll pick up a book because I want to. But truly, I read 10 minutes a day. And I don't judge myself that I didn't finish a chapter. I'm happy that I did something. And so let's kind of talk a little bit about that. Because so many times, you know, people will look at others in judgment. We talked about that last time, like don't compare yourself to others. But we all tend to do that as human beings. And we're like, well, he did this, you know, that's him, you know? So when you're first talking to somebody that kind of feels challenged about how to get to the next place, like you talked about the idea of just, you know, getting started and doing that one thing, but what are some of the things that you've observed over the years that kind of stops people from even taking that first step?
Honestly, I think what stops them the most is the fact that they don't believe that they can do it.
Okay.
I think they get in their own way. And mm-hmm. I think it's been programmed in their brains mm-hmm. because, and I talk about this in my program, the Summit Challenge, as mm-hmm. I mentioned before.
Yeah.
People wake up in the morning. You said you have your routine. Yep. Other people wake up and they either check social media or their email
yep.
before they go to the bathroom or yep. while they're going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of the two.
What people do.
So, yes. So my suggestion is start your day within 30 minutes, Google inspirational video, mm-hmm. you know, one that means most to you. Mm-hmm. And everybody posts garbage all over social media, you know, good stuff, bad stuff, whatever. It's yep. all, it's everything.
Yep.
But how many people, when they post something that's an inspirational quote or a video yeah. or whatever, what percentage do you think actually follows through with what that suggests or what that says?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Everybody likes it. Thumbs up. Fantastic. Yep. Oh, 100%. Whatever. Yep. And then they move on to the next thing.
Absolutely.
Unless you take action, nothing's going to happen.
That's right. That's right.
Absolutely. Just change one little thing in the morning.
Yep. And you know, the research is so clear. I should send you this paper. I got to take a look at my files. They determine that those individuals that look at neutral or negative news or social media feeds, and that would include like the less than stuff, like, oh, geez, somebody's in Tahiti. Oh, I got to go to work today. Those individuals, travel, remember that? So those individuals that look at that neutral or negative stuff are 27% more likely at the end of the day to report having a bad day despite not reporting anything negative that necessarily happened wow. during the day. It's nuts, right? And so I couldn't agree with you more. Like have a routine starting out. It's not fluff. The research is clear. You start out with something that's of gratitude or inspirational. It starts to reprogram your brain. And so it just becomes so important to really pick up those habits so that you end up, you know, benefiting. You know, I mentioned this a whole bunch of times before. The main reason why I started these conversations was to overcome my own fears, was to overcome my own limiting beliefs. Like nobody's gonna wanna listen to what I have to say. I'm not gonna get any viewers, blah, blah, blah. And that's not even why I'm doing it. But I was like, no. I'm gonna do this. And if we talked about this last time, if we can help even one person, well, you know what? That's a good day. That's a good day.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about kind of your Seven Summits project and kind of how you really help people, because people really do look for the nuts and bolts stuff because they do give the thumbs up. Oh, do you ever see that meme one time where it said, it was something like, how many people want change? And everybody raises their hand. And then he says, how many people are willing to change? And nobody raises their hand. So let's talk a little bit about the Seven Summits and kind of what you're doing to kind of help people figure out what that next step is.
Yeah, for sure. It's let me preface it by saying, I remember talking to my manager, my agent mm-hmm. who helps me with keynote speaking and everything and bookings and contracts and everything. I remember I was telling him about the program mm-hmm. and I wanted it to go to corporations mm-hmm. so they could purchase it for their employees.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden he says, well, what about the corporations who, because I told him, look, corporations need to understand that their employees are people. Mm-hmm. And if you invest in the person, that comes back to you in the employee and it helps with the corporate mindset mm-hmm. and everything. And he said, well, what if those corporations don't believe that? How are you going to convince them? Like, I don't want to convince them. I don't want to exactly. work with people like that. Exactly. So the Summit Challenge is for people who want to change, but they just don't know where. They don't yep. know how to begin. They don't yep. know how to take that first step, which is probably most people. Yep. Or they're afraid to take that first step because they're thinking to themselves, oh, you know, I'm overwhelmed by everything. Where do I even go from here? So like I said, it's called the Summit Challenge and it's broken down into seven different parts. Mm-hmm. Each challenge is 3 weeks long.
Okay.
Which is how long they, whoever they are, they say it takes to develop a habit, roughly. Mm-hmm. So in each challenge, there are three micro challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So once you complete challenge one, you move on to challenge two.
Okay.
Challenge one, this is now a new habit. Mm-hmm. You continue doing that habit into challenge two. You finish challenge two, you move on to challenge three. You now have two positive habits.
Yep. Yeah.
You move on to challenge four, et cetera. So at the end of it, you're going to have seven positive new habits. And research has shown the best way to replace a negative habit, or best way to get rid of a negative habit, is to replace it with a new positive one.
Exactly.
So this is helping people with their mindsets. So the first thing is the bookend challenge, where you have to understand, you know, you basically reprogram your brain through neuroplasticity, and you're growing more synaptic connections in your left prefrontal cortex, which is associated to optimism, openness, and mm-hmm. possibilities.
Yep.
Then you move on to vivid visualization, where I help people walk through picturing themselves actually doing their event,
mm-hmm.
actually being successful, because that way you're becoming who you want to become in the future, but you're acting like that person now.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then the third one works in mindfulness and the compound effect. I've seen those two separate before, mm-hmm. but I've never seen anyone put them together. So I've put together the mindfulness and the compound effect. So first of all, understand what mindfulness is and realize that you have a choice. And we talked about this earlier. You have a choice in how you want to react.
Yep.
And you can react any way. I'm not saying that, you know, we're going to live in a world where everyone farts cotton candy, you know?
Right.
And unicorns exist. That's just not the case. So just be mindful of what you're doing in your life, how things are affecting you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move on to the compound effect and notice how those things are starting to change your life.
Absolutely.
Then you move on to the Gales, which I'm sure you know
mm-hmm.
all about.
Yes.
And then it's reassessing your personal core values, because the whole underlying idea
Absolutely.
Is knowing what your personal core values are and making decisions based on what means most to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's funny you mentioned the Gales. So that's something we were trained on in our IPEC coaching, you know, talk about gremlins, assumptions, interpretations, and limiting beliefs. And for my viewers out there, remember my gremlin, my green gremlin? There he is. He's always there reminding me not to listen to him. So I love the fact that you've developed this, because everybody needs tools out there. And oftentimes people talk about, about books as an example, like let's just call it categorically what people tend to call it, like motivational self-help, whatever. And, you know, there's 1500 some odd books a year. You know, my personal opinion, you know why that is? Because every author speaks to different people differently. And so I love the fact that you're combining the mindfulness and the compound effect, because that's going to speak to people differently, to give them kind of a way out to kind of move forward from there. So I right. think that's fantastic. So
it's not just a program where people say, hey, you know, I'm going to, do you want to make $1 million in 30 months?
Right.
This isn't I want to lose 15 pounds for a wedding
right.
type
right.
of thing and then go
right.
back to eating cake right. every day. This is a lifestyle diet yep. change.
Exactly.
You know, if people want to change their lives, this is it. And it's also taken from what I did when mm-hmm. my first goal was to crawl literally 8 feet from the hospital bed to the toilet so I wouldn't soil the sheets when I was going through my two cancers. You know, and then I went and climbed the highest mountains in the world and went on to do things that no one's ever done before.
Absolutely.
So it's not just, you're not learning from someone who just made a book. You're learning yeah. from someone who's actually been there. I turned something horrible into something amazing.
Absolutely. You know,
and everybody's going through the vid right now. If you're not mindful of what you're doing, you're going to come out on the other side worse off than you were when you went in.
That's exactly right. Like, you know, so many people during the pandemic were taking the opportunity, just as one example, to kind of reorganize all their closets and their drawers and so forth, trying to make something, you know, positive out of this kind of horrific experience, just kind of one step at a time. So I think that's absolutely amazing. And, you know, I really wanted to spend this session with you talking about the specifics and what people could do next and the project you're working on, because I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to kind of jump into it myself, frankly. And so, you know, as you think about our last two sessions together, any closing thoughts for people as we kind of wrap up our time today?
I guess the closing thought would just be, pay attention to what you're doing, because we are creatures of habit.
Yep.
And if you want to change who you are and you want to change what you have, change what you do.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. I couldn't think of a better way to end. So Sean, thank you so very much again for joining us today. I'll post Sean's information below. And please don't forget to subscribe and click notifications. And lastly, remember, life speaks to you. And if you think it doesn't, you're not listening. Take care, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.